Chapter 46. The explosion, followed by a storm of gunfire, resounded through the tunnel and into the hangar like thunder rumbling from the other end of a drainage pipe. Then the racket abruptly stopped, and the sounds ebbed, until an ominous silence spread and hung heavy inside the hangar. Minutes passed, with everyone standing frozen, staring into the yawning darkness, waiting with uneasy trepidation. Then the eerie stillness was broken by the approaching sound of footsteps echoing along the ice floor of the tunnel. A figure slowly took form and walked into the refracted light falling through the roof of the hangar. A tall man, holding a stick with a white rag flowing from the top, advanced toward the semicircle of 100 men and women holding guns, every muzzle pointed at the stranger. A scarf was wrapped around the lower half of his face. He walked directly up to Carl Wolf and his sisters, stopped, and pulled away the scarf, revealing a craggy face darkened with bearded stubble and haggard with fatigue.
"Hugo sends his regrets, but he is unable to join your little bon voyage party."
There was a moment of incredulous confusion throughout the hangar. Blondie stared in amazed fascination. Elsie's face took on an expression of shock and baffled rage. Predictably, Carl was the first to recover and come back on keel.
"So it's you, Mr. Pitt," he said, observing Pitt through suspicious eyes. "You're like a curse."
"Forgive the casual dress," said Pitt cordially, "but my tux is at the cleaner's." Glaring at Pitt, her blue eyes furious, Elsie stepped forward and thrust an automatic pistol into Pitt's stomach. He grunted in pain, stepped back, and clutched his midriff. But the smile never left his face.
"You will notice," Pitt spoke tautly, "that I am unarmed and carrying a flag of truce."
Carl pushed Elsie's gun hand away.
"Let me kill him,"
she hissed venomously. "All in good time," he said conversationally. He looked Pitt in the eyes. "Hugo is dead?"
"As we say back home, Hugo bought the farm."
"And his men?"
"In the same category."
"Were you responsible for the destruction of my aircraft?" Pitt looked around at the smashed aircraft and shrugged.
"I drove rather recklessly, I must admit."
"Where did you come from?" Wolf asked sharply. Pitt smiled, ignored him completely, and said,
"I suggest you order your people to lay down their weapons before they get hurt very badly. More than enough blood has been spilled here today. It would be the height of stupidity to add to the carnage."
"Your men, Mr. Pitt. How many of the American force are left?"
"See for yourself."
Pitt turned and made a motion with his arm. Giordino, Cleary, and his remaining 20 men stepped from the tunnel into the hangar and spread out in an even line nearly 10 paces apart, guns held at the ready.
20 against 100. Carl Wolf smiled for the first time. "We're expecting reinforcements momentarily."
"Too late," Carl said, firmly believing that Pitt was desperately attempting to save himself through deception. "The nanotech systems created to break away the ice shelf have been activated by now. The world is headed for a cataclysm as we talk. Nothing can stop it."
"I beg to differ," Pitt said, his tone purposefully neutral.
All systems were shut down 10 minutes before they were to be set in motion. "I'm sorry to disrupt your plans, Carl, but there will be no cataclysm. There will be no new destiny, no fourth empire. The world will go on spinning around the sun as before, far from perfect, with all its man-made weaknesses and frailties. Summer and winter, blue skies and clouds, rain and snow, will continue uninterrupted until long after the human race has ceased to exist. If we become extinct, it will be from natural causes,
not from some outlandish scheme by a megalomaniac bent on world domination.
"What are you saying?" Elsie snapped in growing alarm.
"No need to panic, dear sister," said Carl, his tone a shade less than congenial. "The man is lying." Pitt shook his head wearily. "It's all over for the Wolf family. If anyone deserves to be indicted by a world tribunal for attempted crimes against humanity, it's you. When 6 billion souls find out how you and your family of ghouls tried to exterminate every man, woman, and child on the planet, you're not going to be very popular. Your giant ships, wealth, and treasures will be seized. And if any of your family members do escape a lifetime in jail, their every move will be closely watched by international intelligence and police agencies to ensure that they won't have any ambitions for a fifth empire."
"If what you say is true," Carl said with a sneer, only slightly diminished by uncertainty, "what do you plan to do with my sisters and me?"
"Not my call." Pitt sighed. "Sometime, someplace, you'll be hung for your crimes, for all the murders you've ordered of those who stood in your way. My satisfaction will be sitting in the front row and watching you drop."
"A most provocative illusion, Mr. Pitt, and most intriguing. A pity it's pure fantasy."
"You're a hard man to convince."
"Give the order to fire, brother," Elsie demanded. "Shoot the vermin. If you don't, I will."
Carl Wolf stared at the weary and battle-exhausted veterans of Cleary's command. "My sister is right. Unless your men surrender within the next 10 seconds, my people will cut them down."
"Never happened," said Pitt, his voice hard and abrupt.
100 guns against 20? The battle will not last long, and there can only be one conclusion. You see, Mr. Pitt, too much is at stake. My sisters and I will gladly sacrifice our lives in the name of the Fourth Empire."
"It's stupid to waste lives for a dream that's already dead and buried," Pitt said casually.
"The hollow statement of a desperate man. At least I will have the gratification of knowing you'll be the first to die."
Pitt stared at Wolf for a long moment, then glanced down at the automatic rifle in the madman's hands. Then he shrugged.
"Have it your way. But before you get carried away with bloodlust, I suggest you look behind you."
Wolf shook his head.
"I'm not taking my eyes off you."
Pitt turned slightly to Elsie and Blondie.
"Why don't you girls explain the facts of life to your brother?"
The Wolf sisters turned and looked.
Every neck in the hangar turned, and every pair of eyes looked toward the rear wall and the entrance of the far tunnel. If there was one thing the hangar was lacking, it wasn't an arsenal of automatic weapons. Another 200 had joined the drama being enacted around the wrecked aircraft. 200 nasty-looking Eradicator rifles, all aimed at the backs of Destiny Enterprises engineers and scientists, and held in the hands of men whose faces were hidden by helmets and goggles. They were ranged in an orderly semicircle, the front row kneeling, the back row standing, dressed in Arctic battle gear similar to that worn by Cleary and his team. One of the figures stepped forward and spoke loudly with authority. "Lay down your weapons very slowly and back away. At the first sign of hostility, I will order my men to open fire. Please cooperate and no one will be hurt."
There was no sign of hesitation or resistance. Far from it. The men and women who made up the scientific team for Destiny Enterprises were only too happy to rid themselves of weapons few of them knew how to operate properly. There was an almost universal sigh of relief as they backed away from the Bushmaster rifles and raised their hands in the air. Elsie looked as if she had taken a knife in the heart. She stood with a stunned, uncomprehending look on her face. Blondie, her eyes stricken and bewildered, looked as if she was going to be sick. Carl Wolf's face went tense and hard as stone.
more angry than fearful at the certainty of seeing his grand plan to launch a new world order suddenly evaporate.
"Which one of you is Dirk Pitt?" inquired the leader of the newly arrived special force.
Pitt slowly raised his hand.
"Here."
The officer strode up to Pitt and gave a slight nod of his head.
"Colonel Robert Wittenberg, in charge of the Special Forces operation. What is the status of the Ross Ice Shelf operation?"
"Terminated," Pitt answered steadily.
"The Valhalla project was shut down 10 minutes short of the ice-cutting system's activation."
Wittenberg relaxed visibly.
"Thank God," he sighed.
"Your timing could not have been more perfect, Colonel.
After making radio contact with Major Cleary, we followed your directions through the opening in the ice you smashed with your vehicle."
He paused and asked, as if in awe,
"Did you see the ancient city?"
Pitt smiled.
"Yes, we saw it."
"From there, it was a routine run with full battle gear," Wittenberg continued, "until we arrived at the hangar and assembled before anyone turned and noticed us.
It was touch and go, but Major Cleary and I managed to keep everyone's attention focused away from your end of the tunnel until you took up your battle position."
"Is this all of them?" asked Wittenberg.
Pitt nodded.
"Except for several of their wounded back at the control center."
Cleary approached, and the two warriors saluted before shaking hands warmly. Cleary's smile was tired, but the teeth showed.
"Bob, you don't know how happy I am to see your ugly old face."
"How many times does this make that I saved your tail?" Wittenberg said, humor in his eyes.
"Twice, and I'm not ashamed to admit it.
You didn't leave much for me to do."
"True, but if you and your men hadn't shown up when you did, you'd have found half an acre of dead bodies."
Wittenberg stared at Cleary's men, who stood gaunt and weary but still vigilant, watching every move made by the Wolf personnel as they dropped their rifles on the ice floor and gathered in hushed groups near the wrecked aircraft.
"It looks like they whittled you down some."
"I lost too many good men," Cleary admitted grimly.
Pitt gestured to the Wolves.
"Colonel Wittenberg, may I introduce Carl Wolf and his sisters Elsie and..."
Not knowing Blondie, he paused.
"My sister Blondie," Carl intervened. He was a man in the middle of a nightmare.
"What do you intend to do with us, Colonel?"
"If it was up to me," growled Cleary, "I'd shoot the whole lot of you."
"Were you given orders concerning the Wolves after you captured them?" Pitt asked Wittenberg.
The colonel shook his head.
"There was no time to discuss political policy regarding prisoners."
"In that case, may I ask a favor?"
"After all you and your friend have done," replied Cleary, "you have but to name it."
"I'd like temporary custody of the Wolves."
Wittenberg gazed into Pitt's eyes, as if trying to read the mind behind.
"I don't quite understand."
But Cleary did.
"Since you were given no orders concerning the disposition of prisoners," he said to the colonel, "I think it only fitting and proper that the man who saved us from unimaginable horror have his request honored."
Wittenberg thought a moment before nodding.
"I quite agree. The spoils of war. You have custody of the Wolves until such time as they can be transported under guard to Washington."
"No one government has legal jurisdiction over any individual in Antarctica," said Carl arrogantly. "It is unlawful for you to hold us as hostages."
"I'm only a simple soldier," said Wittenberg, with an indifferent shrug. "I'll leave it for the lawyers and politicians to decide your fate after you're in their hands."
While the newly combined Special Force teams secured the mining facility and rounded up the captives, eventually placing them in confinement in a workers' dormitory, Pitt and Giordino unobtrusively herded Carl, Elsie, and Blondie Wolf along the huge doors that covered one wall of the hangar. Seemingly unnoticed, they suddenly forced the three wolves through a small maintenance door that opened onto the aircraft runway outside. The sudden surge of cold air came as a shock after the 60-degree temperature inside the hangar. Carl Wolf turned and smiled bleakly at Pitt and Giordino.
"Is this where you execute us?"
Blondie seemed as if she were in a trance, but Elsie stared at Pitt scathingly. "Shoot us, if you dare," she spat savagely.
Pitt's face was masked by disgust. "By all that is holy in this world, you all deserve to die. Your whole despicable family deserves to die. But it won't be me or my friend here who will do the honors. I'll leave that to natural causes."
The revelation suddenly struck Wolf.
"You're allowing us to escape?"
Pitt nodded.
"Yes."
"Then you don't see my sisters and me standing trial and going to jail.
A family of your wealth and power will never step into a courtroom. You will use every means at your command to cheat the gallows or a life behind bars and go free in the end."
"What you say is true," said Carl contemptuously. "No head of government would dare risk the consequences of indicting the Wolf family."
"Nor incur our wrath," added Elsie. "There isn't a high official or national leader who doesn't owe our family. Our exposure will be their exposure."
"We cannot be imprisoned like common rabble," said Blondie, her voice having regained a measure of insolence. "The family is too spirited, too strong-willed. We will rise again, and next time we will not fail."
"I, for one," said Giordino, his black eyes filled with scorn, "think that is a bad idea."
"We'll all rest easier knowing you won't be around to have a hand in it," said Pitt coldly.
Carl Wolf's eyes narrowed, and then he stared out over the icy landscape.
"I believe I see your motive," he murmured in subdued tones. "You are turning us loose to die out on the ice floe."
"Yes," Pitt nodded his head slightly.
"Not dressed for frigid temperatures, we won't last an hour."
"My guess is 20 minutes."
"It seems I underestimated you as an opponent, Mr. Pitt."
"I have this theory that the world can get along just fine without the chief director of Destiny Enterprises and the family empire."
"Why don't you simply shoot us and get it over with?"
Pitt gazed at Wolf with the briefest of pleasure in his green eyes.
"That would be too quick. This way you'll have time to reflect on the horror you attempted to inflict on billions of innocent people."
There was a slight flush on Wolf's temples. In a supportive gesture, he put his arms around his sister's shoulders.
"Your lecture bores me, Mr. Pitt. I'd rather meet death by freezing than listen to more of your philosophic dribble."
Pitt looked thoughtfully at Carl Wolf and his sisters. He wondered if it was possible to make a dent in this incorrigible family. The loss of their empire shook them, but the threat of death didn't unnerve them in the least. If anything, it maddened them. He looked from one face to the other. "A word of warning. Don't bother attempting to double back into the tunnels or the mining facility. All entrances and exits will be guarded." Then he made a gesture with his old colt. "Start walking." Blondie looked resigned to her fate, as did Carl. Already she was shivering violently from the biting cold. Not Elsie. She lunged at Pitt, only to receive a backhand from Giordino that knocked her to her knees. As she struggled to her feet, helped by Carl, Pitt had rarely seen such a look of pure malevolence on a woman's face.
"I swear I'll kill you," she snarled through bloody lips.
Pitt smiled ruthlessly. "Goodbye, Elsie. Have a nice day." "If you walk fast," said Giordino cynically, "you'll stay warmer." Then he slammed and locked the door.